Can you remember the best Christmas gift you've ever received? If you can remember that, raise your hand. There's one or two of you. Oh, we can lower the bar, guys. We can lower it because we see no one's going to remember it. What about the best Christmas gift you've ever given? Do you remember that? Anyone? Okay. We're talking about the wreaths of Christmas, and we've looked at what happens when we reject Christ at Christmas. We've also seen how what it looks like when we receive Christ at Christmas, and what that means when we welcome Him into our lives, when He comes to us, and however it is that He comes to us, we welcome Him. But today, what we're talking about is reflecting Christ. What happens when we reflect Christ, not only at Christmas, but the entire year, throughout all of our days, if you will. And it is about giving, this is about giving the gift of Jesus to other people. And I would submit to you today that that is the absolute best gift that you could not only receive for Christmas, but also give at Christmas, regardless of when you received Him. Or when you give Him, even if it's during the year, it is still a Christmas gift. We're reminded of John 3:16. We've read it a couple times over the last few weeks. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. That is, God's gift to us was Jesus Christ, and now we have the opportunity to reflect Christ and give Him out to other people. Now, Christmas is a great time of year. I like Christmas. It's fun. Like we've shared, everyone likes to get a few days off from work. I like to receive gifts. I like to receive candy, even though I shouldn't be eating it. I still like to get it, and I like to eat. I like to be tempted by the candy, just sitting there saying, "Hey, eat me!" And I'm like, "Oh, that it looks so good. Maybe I should." It would be a shame to let that go to waste. You know, there's people starving. There's people who wish they had that somewhere. And for me to be a good steward of my resources, I should probably eat that. And so I enjoy that battle, that internal struggle. It's a good thing. It's a fun thing to do this time of year. And we all know that. People like Christmas. But we also know that while we're celebrating Christmas, and while people get the day off, and while we buy presents and give presents, that it's not always a happy holiday deep down inside. We all know that we have hurts, we have pains, and as you grow older, you develop more of those where maybe people that you loved have let you down. Maybe people you've looked up to have hurt you. Maybe the people that were supposed to protect you took advantage of you. And so Christmas, for a lot of people, becomes a painful time, and it's even magnified because they look around and they see everyone smiling and having a great time and just talking about how wonderful everything is, and they will put on a smile too, and they'll join the conversations, but in their hearts they're hurting. In their hearts there's pain. And I dare say that all of us know what that's like to some degree or another. Every single one of us has that. And so we'll put on our smile, we'll act. But if we were being honest with ourselves and others, we would say, well, you know, there's some pain here. And here's why. And it's difficult. It's just difficult. For most people, behind the glimmering lights, behind the smiles, there is pain, there's disappointment, there's dysfunction, there's addiction, there's abuse, and all sorts of issues around all of our lives. And I know that I experienced that. I know that many of you experienced that. And again, I believe that most of us experience that. And if you're not experiencing that, then praise God. This is wonderful. It's wonderful. And you should share how blessed you are with those around you. But just know we live in a difficult world. And this time of year, again, it does magnify these issues. Everyone's supposed to feel loved and happy, but there's some people around us that maybe they don't feel loved and they're not happy. We're supposed to feel joy and just this great hope, and there's people around us in our lives, and maybe it's you that maybe you don't feel that love and you don't feel that hope and you don't feel that joy. And this happens. We hide it. You may be here in the room, but you know there's some places where you feel alone. You feel afraid. You feel like people don't understand. You feel like maybe, you know, you just wish that people knew you and the real you and loved you, and you kind of feel like you're living this charade at times. That's why. That's the very reason why it's important for us to reflect Jesus at Christmas. That's why it's important for us not to just put all of our time and energy on the presents and the commercialism of Christmas. Those things are fun to participate in. We're blessed in this country to be able to have opportunities to most of us to participate in those. But if that's all we do, if that's the focus of everything, then what happens to the people who don't have that? What happens to those who are hurting and struggling inside? And so it's important for us to reflect Jesus during Christmas. As a matter of fact, Christmas is about reflecting Jesus. It's about giving the gift of God's love to other people. That's exactly what. That's why we give gifts. We give gifts to show people that they're loved and they're cared for. That's the reason. Now, if you're like most people, you give gifts because someone gave to you, right? So you have to. It's like, oh man, well, they, you know, I'm already here at my kids. Well, so-and-so gave me a gift, or they're going to get me a gift. I know it, so I've got to get them one. And so it's kind of this guilt obligation sort of thing. It's like, well, you know, I know that they're going to expect it, and so we give it. But the reason we give is not because someone gave to us. It's because God gave to us. And we want to reflect His gift. And I was thinking about this, even the time off that we get in this Christmas season. You know, I saw an article where someone was protesting because there was a nativity scene set up at a courthouse. We see this all the time. And so there's this group who's going to try to get that nativity scene thrown off the courthouse steps. And I just thought to myself, I wonder if they get any time off for Christmas. Right? I might want to say, no, I don't want it. I don't want the 2 days off. I tell you, I'll come in and work. I'll catch up on some work. No, of course, they're going to take the day off. So in some form or another, most people are celebrating Christmas, even if they don't like it and don't want anything to do with it. I'm sure that they're taking those days off. And truth is, when we think about being in Christ and we think about what He gives us, it is kind of a rest from our labors. We know that. That's what the Sabbath was about. It was a picture of when Christ would come and allow us to rest from our labors of trying to earn God's favor, because we can't earn His favor. And so Jesus earned His favor for us so that we could cease from our works, receive His grace and forgiveness. And so even the folks that are taking a day off from Christmas or for Christmas, they're kind of showing, even against their desire, they're showing that is kind of what grace is about, is being able to rest in Christ and what He's done for us. And so the point is that Christmas does indeed reflect Christ. And we know that. Now, in the Scriptures, remember from Luke 2, we heard it this morning, the angels appeared to some shepherds who were out in the fields watching their flocks by night. We've heard that. And so while they were doing that, the angels appeared, scared them, and then the angels told the shepherds that a Savior has been born, or is going to be born, a Savior. And so they want to go see this thing that's happened. And so look at Luke chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. It says this. It says, "When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.' And when they went with haste," that means they hurried, "and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger." And so when the angels left, the shepherds said, "Let's go over to Bethlehem to investigate what's happened, what had been made known to them." And I think this is very important. This had been made known to them. Somehow they found out about it. They found out about it by the angels. And then they went to investigate what had been made known to them. And then they used that opportunity in verses 17 through 19 to share what God had done in their lives, what God had made known to them. And so it says this, "And when they saw it," that is, when they saw Mary, Joseph, and the baby lying in a manger, "they made known to other people the saying that had been told them concerning the child." So they made known to others that which was made known to them concerning this child, concerning Jesus. It says, "All who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them, and Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart." You see, as a result of the shepherds and God's work in the shepherds, as a result of that, they shared what God had done in their life, what He had said in their life, what He had made known to them. They went and they shared that with others, even those who were participants in the ordeal, such as Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus. And what happened is, when they made it known what had happened, that the angels came and told them that a Savior was going to be born, and they went and they told other people this same story, what happened was it created a sense of wonder in everyone. It created a sense of awe in them. And I'm just thinking, if I were Mary and Joseph, and probably the people who were closest to them, I'm assuming they're alone, at least in the nativity scenes, they're alone, except for some animals. You know, the wise men show up a few years later. But anyway, whoever was there, if it was just Mary and Joseph and Jesus, the animals, I don't know. But it would be hard for me to imagine that Mary and Joseph could be any more in awe of what was going on than what had happened. Right? Wouldn't you say that? They've got to be, their awe meter has got to be pegged out all the way in the red. That nothing else. And so then these shepherds show up, and the shepherds were the lowliest people in society. They were the bottom rung, but some reason God in His grace and His wisdom came to the lowest in society, and He came to them and He said, "Hey, a Savior's to be born," probably because they knew they needed a Savior, and they go to see what's going on, and they share all of this, and then Mary and Joseph they're awed at that. And this whole situation created this intrigue and this astonishment. They were astounded at what the shepherds were saying. Now, don't miss this. This is the thing. And I think this is the thing for all of us. The shepherds shared their Jesus story. Okay? They shared their God story. The angels showing up and telling them about something that was happening, that was kind of their God story. That's probably the first time that had ever happened to those shepherds, wouldn't you think? And so they were so fired up about that, and they were so excited about seeing God intervene in their world to them, directly to them, that they went and they shared that with someone else. And that, what they shared, is what produced the awe and wonder in those who heard it. And this makes me think about how we as Christ followers interact with God. You see, the Bible teaches that if we are believers, we're following Christ, that we receive the Holy Spirit of God, and the Holy Spirit of God is our counselor, our comforter, our God. He is the one who convicts us of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And that word convict means to make us aware, kind of, with responsibility. It's not only am I aware of what's going on, I kind of feel some responsibility towards, so that conviction. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit also brings to our remembrance everything that God has taught us through the Scriptures. And so everything that Jesus taught, the Holy Spirit brings those things to our remembrance. The Holy Spirit is the power of God. He is the one who opens our eyes and helps us to see things. The Holy Spirit is who opens lost people's eyes and allows them to be saved. It's the Holy Spirit of God that does that, that is working. And Jesus said that He had to go away in order to send the Holy Spirit. And so for Jesus, sending the Holy Spirit to Him was more important than Him being here with us. And we've talked about this before, is that if we could get Jesus to come back and stand right here between 1 o'clock and 2 o'clock this afternoon, let's say between 12:30 and 1:30 this afternoon, if you knew Jesus Himself is going to come and stand right here and talk to you, shake your hand, hug you, heal you, do whatever it is he wants to do, right here between 12:30 and 1:30 this afternoon, who would show up? right? Well, it's lunchtime, right? And God don't show up at lunchtime because he knows we're Baptists and we eat at lunchtime, right? So, no, but Jesus seemed to think it was better for him to go away and that not happen. Him not show up at 12:30 to 1:30, but rather give us his Holy Spirit to be with us all the time. So we don't have to show up at a particular place to experience God, that we're experiencing him all the time. And so the Holy Spirit is living in us. He's alive and active. He's showing us things. He's speaking to us, and he's working things out so that we can not only see his power and his work in our lives, but also share that with other people. And so every single day, the Holy Spirit of God is working in your life. Now, we might not see that. We might not be tuned into it, but it is true. The Holy Spirit of God is working in our lives. It's kind of like a radio station. I heard this analogy. I didn't come up with it. But right now, give me the name of a radio station in Louisville, someone. What are we? WJI. Is that a Christian radio station? Okay. So WJI, a Christian radio station. Right now, WJI's radio waves are in your ears. Do you know that? Right now. The signal's going out, and all the other radio stations too. The signal's here. The waves are here. The sound is here. It's in the room, but you can't hear it. And why can't you hear it? Because you're not a radio receiver. You're not dialed in. You haven't turned your dial to receive that. You don't even have the ability to do that. Well, oftentimes, I believe it's kind of the same way with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's here. He's with us. He's not just here at Bowersville in this building on this property. No, he's in us. He's in you. When you leave, the Holy Spirit of God goes with you. The Bible says that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. That means God resides in you. He no longer resides in buildings made of brick and mortar. He resides in the people of God. He resides in you. And he's working all the time in our lives. But I believe many times we're not dialed in. We don't see it. It's like the radio waves. We're not dialed in. We don't hear him speaking. We don't see his work. But we don't see these waves coming through. They're in our ears right now. And do you think it's possible that sometimes, or maybe most of the time, we miss the Holy Spirit of God working in our lives? I think it is. I think it is. And God doesn't want that to be the case. It's not like he's condemning you for that. He just wants you to hear him and experience him every single day. And so that's what we not only want for ourselves, not only what God wants for us, but he wants that for the people around us too. You see, because when God speaks to us, when God shows us something and he applies it to our life, when he shows us we're loved when we're feeling unloved, when he shows us we're wanted when we're feeling unwanted, when he shows us that he's our provider when we needed provision, when he shows us that he's a right-on-time God when we were worried he was going to be late, that is a testimony to the Holy Spirit of God working in your life, and he gives us that so that we can recognize it and then use that as a witness with other people, to share that, to reflect what he's done in our lives to other people. Like a mirror would reflect light. The light shines on the mirror. If I held a mirror here with these bright lights, I could probably blind you. And so that's the way that we are with the Lord. Jesus works in your life so that you will have a fresh witness to share with others about what he's done in you. That's a principle. Jesus works in your life so that you will have a fresh witness about what he has done in you. Now, oftentimes when we say witness, we think about telling people what they need to do. Say a witness, well, okay, I'm going to witness to someone. And we think, well, okay, here's what you need to do. You're a sinner. You need to get saved. You need to repent of your sins. You need to stop sinning. You need to straighten up your life. You need to come to church. You need to be nicer to your family. You need to blah, 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 blah. It's need, 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 need. But the truth is, that's not the gospel. What they need is Jesus. That's it. And Jesus will work on all of these other things that they need to do. But what they really, truly need, their greatest need, as we saw last week, is Jesus Christ. And so when Jesus works in our life, what we do is he gives us this fresh witness. So now we don't have to tell them what they need to do. We can actually share with them what God has done in us. And I tell you, it's always more appealing to me when I hear someone talking about how something awesome happened to them, even if it was painful, but it was for a reason. That appeals to me more than them telling me what I need to do. Does that make any sense? You know, like with my kids, I spend a lot of time telling my kids what they need to do. Like, you know, and you have to do that because they don't think. I love them. I might share more of that later. But anyhow, I said, well, this is what you need to do. But sometimes, just occasionally, and it's not because I'm a good parent, it's because it slipped up on me, I will share with them a story that happened in my life when I was growing up about something. And then what they hear in that is they hear my story, and then they normally respond to that in a favorable way in their own life and their own situation, because they heard what happened in my life. And so when I tell them, hey, I was rebelling against my parents, this is kind of what happened to me. Now, I don't have to say, you're rebelling against me. They know they are. And so they're pretty good kids before 8:30 in the morning. And so I love you guys. You're good. You're good all the time. You're really good. I love you. So, and I know you love me too, and that's not embarrassing. Okay. It's that what God's done for me and to me and is doing in me right now. And so many times when we talk about the witness, we're telling them what they need to do. And oftentimes when we talk about witness, even if we share our story, it's about something that happened when we were a child. And that is important. What happened when we were a child is important. It is what God used to start his work in our lives. But is he giving you a fresh testimony? And the answer is yes, he is, just like he did here with these shepherds. And so verse number 20 tells us, and the shepherds returned, so they went back to wherever they were, the fields, glorifying and praising God for all they had seen and heard as it had been told to them. And so what this all produced is God gave them a testimony. He intervened in their life. He showed up in their life. They went and they investigated it and they shared it with someone else. And then that in turn produced more worship for them, and it produced wonder and questions in the people who heard it of what is this going on. And certainly Mary and Joseph would have known, but if there were others there and around and others on the way to and fro that heard this story, they were indeed curious with what God was doing. Another principle, when God shows up in your life, when you experience Jesus, he changes you. He gives you hope and excitement about him and the future, and he gives you something to share with others. It's a long principle, but the principle is when God shows up, he sets you on fire, and he gives you that fire to give to others. He lets your light shine bright so that you can give it to others. Now, there is a guy in the Bible. So there is an apostle, John. He was one of the disciples of Jesus. And so he wrote a book, John, the book of John. He also wrote 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. In his book, and he wrote about another guy named John, and his name was John the Baptist. Now, John the Baptist was a prophet, and he came, and he was kind of preparing the way for the Messiah to come. And so he was out preaching in places. They called it the wilderness. He would be out preaching and telling folks that, hey, you know, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent and be saved. Repent, be baptized, all these things. He's teaching these things because God had sent him to come and prepare people for the Christ. And he had said he's going to send someone like Elijah to come before the Messiah come. And so that's what's happening. And you might have read some about John the Baptist, but this is what John the Apostle says about John the Baptist in John chapter 1, verse 8. This is what he says. It says, he was not the light, but he came to bear witness about the light. And when I read that a few weeks ago, I was like, that's my job. I mean, that verse is about us. It's about you. You are not the light, but you come to bear witness about the light. I am not the light. I've come to bear witness about the light. And so many times in our lives, I mean, you know, it is... it just becomes about me. It comes about my stuff, my dreams, my future, my family, of my ministry, my stuff, me. And really, it's not about me. It's not about you. It's about Him. And our job, we're not the light. He's the light. And our job is to bear witness. And that's what we're talking about here, to see God working and to bear witness. As a matter of fact, John the Baptist bore witness of Jesus. Jesus came to him, submitted to baptism, and the Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus. And John had been told that whoever you see the Holy Spirit descend upon, that is the one who is the Christ, the Messiah. And so indeed, when John saw the Holy Spirit descend upon Jesus, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." And he told exactly what God had told him, and he was bearing witness to who Jesus was, not to himself. He's like, I must decrease, Christ must increase. And this is our job. We are to reflect the light of what God is doing in our lives. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, Jesus says, "In the same way, let your light shine before others." Why? Why should we do that? "So that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." Here it is again, this light. Let your light shine before others. Well, it's really not my light. It's what He does in me. Why would I do that? So that they would see what's going on, and I'm not going to get the glory. I'm not going to get the increase, but rather God's going to get the glory, and He's going to get the increase. And so that's this principle playing itself out. So the question would be, how can you prove to the world that God loves them? Because I really think that's the job. The job of today's Christ follower is to prove to the world that the Father loves them. And I think that's especially our opportunity as Christ followers at Christmas time. This is it's not about knowledge at this point. It's about action. How is it that I can prove to the world? Well, when I think about that, it's all good, but the world's a big place, right? Like, how are you going to prove to the world that God loves them? You know, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time, right? It's a big, big bite. Well, it's kind of the same way here. Like, the world's a big place. And when I say, hey, our job is to prove to the world that God loves them, well, that kind of puts it on the corporate responsibility and maybe some other people, like our missions endeavors with the International Mission Board and the North American Mission Board and stuff like that. And it's like somebody else's job. We're giving some money to that to help them prove to the world that God loves them. But I want to make it more personal than that, because I believe it is more personal than that. Then how is it that I can do that? And I can't. I can't prove to the world. But you know what I can do? I can prove to one. And do you know what you can do? You can prove to one person that God loves them. God puts a person in your life every day. There's someone in your life. It could be a family member. You know, sometimes our family gets really squirrely. I don't know about yours, but in our family, sometimes there's chaos, and people just need to remember that God loves them. You ever have that in your family? People breaking down. I see some laughing. There's like, sometimes there's some turmoil going on, and it's like, somebody just needs, God loves you. God loves you. I mean, it's bad right now, but God loves you. And so who's the one? Maybe it's a coworker. Maybe there's somebody that you work with. Maybe you're not even close with them, but you know they're going through something. And you just put yourself in their place, and you think about, man, what would it be like to be in their shoes? Maybe the boss is always on them. Maybe they're always late. Maybe their car breaks down. Maybe their water gets shut off. I don't know. These things where life is happening, and you know. You know it because we do it. You know that they're just questioning, man, God, are you real? Why is this stuff happening to me? I'm doing the best I can, and things keep going from bad to worse. You know, and we know people like that, right? Sometimes it's us. Sometimes it's me in my life. I know many of you. We've been together now for many years. Sometimes it's you in your life, and we just need to be reminded that God loves us. We need someone to prove that to us. And so my question for you today is, today, and I want you to ask yourself the same question tomorrow, who is your one? Who is your one? Just say that out loud with me. Say, who is my one? Let's say it. Who is my one? Say it again. Who is my one? So every day God's going to put someone in your life that needs to know His love, to experience His love. And I'm not saying just tell them about His love. Well, what good is that? Well, God loves you. God loves you. Have some bread. God will multiply your bread, and that'll be great. James tells us in his book that if your brother comes to you in need of bread, don't just say, depart in peace, I'll pray for you. Give them some bread, right? Do something for them. Show them that God loves them. Demonstrate to them that God has not forgotten about him, but he's placed you in their path for this very purpose, as to glorify him. One person each day that God brings into your life is struggling. They need to feel loved, wanted, appreciated, and cared for. Who is it? Who is that person? And then let's find them. Look for them. Look for that person. Maybe God's laid someone, maybe in your prayer time, you're praying, you're like, you know, we're going to do this one day as a church. Churches are doing this called scavenger hunts. They pray, and they ask God to lay people on their heart, lay circumstances on their heart, and then they'll pray for a couple hours or so, and then they'll go out and they'll look for what just happened, what God showed them. And they're finding people that were waiting on them. They're finding exactly what was revealed to them. And they can share a word of hope and love. And so maybe it is you're praying and God lays someone on your heart, right? He lays that one person on you. And then you go and you look for them. You find them. Who is it? Because God wants you to represent Him to the world. That He wants us to reflect His light. That's why He shines all this grace and glory and provision and on us. That's why He gets us through our tough times. You're like, I'm going through a hard time. God's going to get you through it. One way or another, He's going to get you through it. And He does that, and He's with you, and He walks with you so that you can share with other people exactly what He's done in your life. I think about people this time of year. Maybe, you know, there's people who are hurting. It's someone, they've lost a loved one, and this is the first or second or maybe even the third Christmas they've gone without a loved one that was very close to them, a child, a sibling, a spouse. And you know, they need love. They need to know that God's not forgot about them. And He's got us in this world to do that. So what do we do with this? I think there's two things that I think we should do with this. The first is to look for ways to share how God is demonstrating His love to us. So how is God demonstrating His love to you right now? How is He doing that? It could be His grace, and He's just lavishing upon you His love. It could be mercy. You know that you deserve something, that you did something wrong, and He's forgiving you, and He spared you of the greatest consequences of that sin, and maybe you can share that with someone. And maybe it's guidance. You didn't know which way to go, and you felt like God wanted you to go this way, but you were kind of scared to go that way, and all of a sudden you stepped out in faith, and then God showed up. And there's a lot of people right now in our world that are just looking for guidance. And where they turn to for guidance is self-help books. They turn and they do a Wikipedia search or a Google search, and that's where everyone's turning to for guidance, literally and spiritually. And so God's put you in their life to bear witness to Him and His guidance in your life. Maybe it's provision. Maybe you know someone who's struggling to make their bills. Or maybe you were struggling to make your bills and God provided for you, and now you know someone else and you can pass that on. And I know what you say. You probably say like me, well, I can't meet all their needs. Like their needs, you know, $400, and I don't have $400. I only got $50. Help them. Help them with $50. It'll be God. God will use that. Help them. Maybe someone needs a ride and you give them a ride. Maybe you can't give them a ride every day, but you can give them a ride on Tuesday. Give them a ride on Tuesday. So look for how God's working in your life, those things. And if we're not seeing that, then let's ask God, why? I know you're working in my life. Why don't I see it? Why don't I recognize it? And so, Lord, I want to see you working in my life so that I can find the one. And so when I find that one, once I have that person that I'm looking for, I want to ask God for compassion upon them. So this is what I want you to do. Recognize, find your one, recognize where God's working in your life, okay, and then share that with the one. Look for ways and opportunities to share that with them. And the way that happens is we have to ask God for compassion. In the last 2 months, I've had a few conversations, not with any of you, so at least that I remember. If I say something that sounds like something we've talked about, it's probably not you. No, it's someone else. The last few months, I've had several conversations where Christian people have been very critical of people in need because they could do better. They've not carried their weight. And it could be a multitude. There's been two or three different situations that's happened. And so it's like, I don't want those people doing this or coming here or doing whatever because they're going to take our resources. They're going to take from me. Why does God give to you? He gives to us to be a blessing. When God puts people in our way, it's not so that we can be critical of them. It's so that we can give. We can have the blessing of giving. And someone asked me recently, well, what about that guy? You know, I think about this because I struggle with it too. There's some guys, I know where their exit ramp is, right? You know, you get off the interstate and you know their exit ramp. And they have the sign. And these guys are really good now. They actually walk up the road so you don't have to stop your car. So while the light's red, they'll come up just kind of like the guys with the boots, firemen. And so they're kind of like, and they walk up, and it's like, okay, do I give to that guy? And so sometimes like, yeah, I need to give to that guy because it's not about him. It's about me being obedient. So I give. And then there's other times like, man, that guy, he's probably making more than me, right? Who's ever thought that? Some of you? Yeah, the rest of your line. Or you got really good jobs. But anyway, I've got a great job. But you think that, and we get critical. Our job is not to be critical. Our job is to be a blessing. You don't know who the road that guy's going down. You don't know the road that lady has gone down. You don't know the pain that they've suffered in their life. And maybe it is a scam. Maybe it is a scam. Maybe God's going to use your gift to soften their heart and say, hey, God's been providing for me, and I'm a scoundrel. Why? Well, maybe I should repent and trust him and then see what he does. We don't know. And so it's not our job to be critical of one another. It's our job to reflect the love and grace of Christ. And so we don't have this on the board, but this is kind of what God did for us. God has so much compassion for us that he demonstrated it like this. While we were still scoundrels, Christ came and died for us. While we were still sinners, and he came and he gave not just a couple bucks, he gave his life to take upon my sin upon him so that I can have grace, mercy, forgiveness, and love and hope. Maybe that this Christmas is what he's saying, hey, I want you to reflect to others. And he says, as the Father sent me, so I'm sending you. And that's what we're talking about. That's what we're looking at. Because Christmas is a hard time. There are people running low on hope. There are people who have lost their family or their boyfriend or their girlfriend. There are people who have been divorced and their hearts are broken in two. There are people that need to know that there is a loving Father and he loves them. And he's not going to hurt them like their earthly father did. He's not going to leave them like their mother did. He's not going to take advantage of them like the brother or the uncle did. That he cares for them and he would do anything to show it, even send you into their lives. just a few days, all this excitement of Christmas will be over, and it'll be time to go back to work and school. And many people will just fall back into the rut of life wondering, what's it all about? They're just putting one foot in front of the other, one foot in front of the other, just trying to make it. They're not happy, they're not excited, and they're wondering, why am I even here? And so, this year, God is sending us out. And maybe it's you. Maybe you're struggling with that too, and you just need to hear that. Look, we know each other. We know we struggle with that. If you know another brother or sister in Christ is struggling with that, be there for them. Show them tangibly that God loves them. Spend time with them. Take them a gift and let them know that you were thinking about them on Tuesday, not just when you saw them in the hall at church. Many of you are sending cards and you're doing that. You're blessing one another. You're blessing us and you're blessing each other. That is awesome. That is what God, that's God using you to bring hope and joy to one another. I think about this, it's a great illustration, and I think this is the reason God gave it to us. We all know what the moon is, right? The satellite planet that orbits the Earth. Who saw it last night when it was huge? Like, did you see how big it was? It was unbelievable. Like, I almost wrecked trying to take pictures of it. You can ask my family. They were screaming. But I got some really good pics I can show you later. Like Emily said, don't kill us. They never show up like that in the pictures. And that's true, they don't. But it was huge, right? Well, you know what that is? That is a dead planet. There's some craters and stuff in it, but it's a dead planet. And it's just up there in darkness. It doesn't do anything. It collects space dust. That's all it does. And it spins around our Earth. It's a satellite. It goes around our Earth. That's all it is. But God has so positioned that in the sky that when it's dark here, when it's the darkest, when we can't see the light of the sun, and we can't feel the warmth of the sun, and we don't see the growth of the sun, and God has so positioned that moon, that in the deadest of nights, the sun hits it when it can't hit you, and it shines and gives you light so that you can see in the middle of the night. You're God's moon. God shines His light on you so that you can shine in other people's dead of night, so that He can reach them so that they can see that there is a loving God, that there is light, that there is hope. And they look at us and they say, well, you got a lot of craters in you. And you're like, yeah, I do. It's not about me. It's about Him. It's not my light that shines. It's His light that shines. And that's what God's done with every single one of you. That's what He's done with me. And that's what we need to be in this, in not only in Christmas. Christmas gives us the occasion to talk about it. But this is what God's done in our lives. I'm reminded of a song. I wish I could sing it or play it. Some of you wouldn't like it. It's kind of a rap song, but it's by Toby Mac. I think Holland helps him sing it. But it's called Lights Shine Bright. It says, I want to magnify your light. I want to reflect the sun. Cut like precious diamonds with colors by the millions. This is the only world we know, and for now it's our this rental's our home. If we're going to be a reflection, got to make this third rock glow. Light shine bright everywhere we go. Music for the people to illuminate the soul. Light shine bright everywhere we go. Music for the people. Jesus music for the people. You are the Jesus music to shine bright. So this Christmas, let's let our light shine bright. Find the one. See where God's working in your life. And reflect that to other people who desperately need to know. And let's not only do it this week, but let's do it in 2019 as well. If you're here today and you're like, I don't know this light, but I want it. I've never had my sins forgiven, but I want them forgiven. I don't have this hope that you talk about, but I want it. Let me tell you, Jesus freely offers it. He offers forgiveness. He offers hope. He offers a future with Him that is secure. regardless of the circumstances you happen to go through here on this earth. He took our sin upon Himself when He died on a cross. And He gives you His righteousness and He takes your sin. And then He lets you live your life reflecting His glory and His life. If you want that, you can just pray. Right now I'm going to pray in just a moment. And you can just say, Lord, I want that salvation. I want that for me. And you say, please, I give you my life. Take my sin. I want your righteousness. Forgive me. And He will. Let's pray. Father God, right now as we pray, as we come to You, Lord, we know You're working in our lives. And Lord, I don't know why it is in my life. I get so bent out of shape and so worried about stupid stuff and things that are going on in this world and problems I have. And I mean, I see You working. And Lord, I just want to be on fire for You. I want to be that light, that torch in the cave, Lord. I know many of us here do. We want to be that light. And Lord, You've made us and created us to be that light. And You're working in our lives every single day. But Lord, our antenna is tuned in to the things of the world. To work, to career, to family, to everything else, dear Lord. Lord, help us to tune in to You. Lord, that's the cry of our heart. You promise us if we draw near to You, You'll draw near to us. So, Lord, we are opening the door and we're inviting You in. For some, dear Lord, it may be just for salvation. They want to be saved. For others, dear Lord, it may be that we just want to see Your hand at work in our lives every single day. And, Father, for all of us, let it be that we see the people that are struggling. Lord, we see the one that You've put in our life today. And we shine Your light on them for Your glory. In Christ's name, amen.